Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast, brought to you today by the Bradley Foundation. We'll talk a little more about that in a bit, but first we want to get right into it. And what we want to get into is a first-person report from the border, the U.S.-Mexico border. And I'm going to start out with a bottom line. Anybody who's paying attention to the news knows the situation on the U.S. border is terrible. Anyone who actually visits the border discovers it is worse than that. I visited the border recently. I went with 10 Republican members of Congress who asked me to cover the visit. So I went down to McAllen, Texas, and then to Mission, Texas, very close, right to the U.S. border, and observed some of the most problematic, distressing aspects of the Biden administration's crisis on the border. And I want to talk about what I saw and perhaps give you a better idea of what's going on. Start off, here's the most striking thing about the government's response to this unprecedented surge of illegal border crossings. The most striking thing about it is entirely improvised. It is jury-rigged. It is thrown together in a scramble to accommodate thousands of migrants who weren't coming just a few months ago. Now, the reason it is being improvised is that during his first days in office, President Joe Biden blew up the foundation of the government's handling of migrants. Just blew it up. He had a series of executive actions. He threw out key policies, and here's the most important thing, with nothing ready to replace them. He threw out the way things were working with nothing ready to replace it. Then he did it with rhetoric that invited migrants to rush to the border. So we saw 172,000 in March, just March alone, including 19,000 unaccompanied children. So the U.S. government is improvising, scrambling to deal with this situation created solely by the President of the United States. You have the Border Patrol, you have Immigration and Customs Enforcement, you have the Department of Homeland Security, you have Health and Human Service. They are all desperately trying to put together a new system to deal with the damage that Biden's hurried and irresponsible acts have done. Now, under the orders of the administration, they are no longer really trying to prevent people from entering the U.S. illegally. I didn't see that. I didn't see anybody actually trying to stop people from entering the United States illegally. Not doing that. Instead, they're attempting to humanely house and feed the thousands who illegally come over prior to releasing them into the country. So the people who are the guardians of the border are just overwhelmed, and they're increasingly giving way to a bureaucratic pressure to just let most people in. So that's what's happening. So, some specific examples. There's no better example of what is going on than the situation under, now I'm going to say the name here, but I'm going to mess up the pronunciation. The situation under the Anzaldúas International Bridge, which connects Mexico to the United States. It's in Mission, Texas. Now, it's about a mile, maybe a mile and a half, walk through the woods and a dirt road from the Rio Grande River. And what has happened is smugglers bring boats of people, migrants, across the river. They let them off on the U.S. side. And they begin walking a path through the woods, and then they get to a dirt road. And there are some signs put up by somebody with an arrow on it, just an arrow, nothing, don't say anything, pointing to walk in this direction along the dirt road. And they do, and after a while, if it's at night, and most crossings do happen at night, they see this weird, eerie glow of lights in the distance. And these are these enormous temporary lights that the U.S. government has set up under an overpass, under the bridge, the Anzaldúas International Bridge, to create a temporary processing center. And so what you have is all through the night, 24/7 as well. You have groups, small groups, two, three adults, one of them carrying a child, maybe another small child walking. They're dirty, they're tired, obviously, and they're trudging toward this bridge. And when they arrive, U.S. officials get them in line. There are sort of rope lines, little plastic fences to show where they should stand. And the U.S. officials take their basic information, name, any other identifying information. And there they basically are told to sit on a bench and wait. And they'll wait probably through the night, 3, 4, or 5 hours. And then a bus will come and pick them up and take them to this U.S. detention center in Donna, Texas. Now, maybe you've heard about that. It's an extraordinary place. I'll tell you right now, I was not allowed to see it, but the lawmakers were and told me about it. So back to the bridge. We went about 11 o'clock on an evening. The lawmakers are in a couple of minibuses, drive up to the underpass area. And they were actually kind of stunned to see what's happening. There are these rows and rows and rows of migrants sitting basically silently, just waiting. This facility is mostly the overpass, the bridge, a bunch of benches, a few tables where U.S. officials sit, a whole line of porta potties, the big lights that give it kind of an eerie glow. There's a trailer that said mobile dental unit, so if you have a dental emergency there, they can take care of that. Presumably other medical care as well. But it's very, very bare bones, totally improvised. One of the representatives who was on the trip was Devin Nunes. Probably know about him from his work with the House Intelligence Committee, but he was down there checking out the situation on the border. Understands a very little Spanish, but he walks over to speak to one of the groups, and they tell him it's two adult men, one adult woman, two children. They say they're a husband and a wife and another relative, and they have the kids, and they came from Honduras, and they've been traveling for 40 days. Much of that walking, maybe some of that riding, either on a train or a bus, but 40 days walk from Honduras. The lawmakers, you know, they knew this. I mean, they knew the situation when they went, but they were still stunned to actually see it. Ann Wagner, another one of the Republicans who was there, said, quote, "It's heartbreaking, to be honest, as a mother and a grandmother, to see this many children, to see this many people walking out of the brush who've just crossed a river. This is a horrible situation." Now, Michael McCall, you probably heard of him as well, a Texas representative, said Border Patrol is handling it as best they can, but they're overwhelmed by what the traffickers are doing. They can barely process it, which is true. Now, as we were speaking, as I was talking to McCall, a bus pulls up, and it's a U.S. government bus, and it's going to take people to the Donna facility. Some of them, others, more recent arrivals, will have to wait hours for another bus. Now, when Ann Wagner talked about people walking out of the brush, she was not exaggerating. After a while under the bridge, talking to officials, observing the situation, the lawmakers get back in the minibuses and they drive down this dirt road toward the river. And it was a weird scene. It was totally dark outside. But as we drove along, you could see emerging in the lights of the headlights small groups of migrants walking along the road, heading toward the bridge and heading toward the temporary processing center. Most of them were carrying children. There were some number of adults and some children who were walking, and then some children who were being carried. Now, they had all crossed the U.S. border illegally, every single one of them. And nobody, not one person from the United States government or anywhere else, tried to stop them, to keep them from entering the United States illegally. The goal here of the Biden administration. The goal was just to make it to the bridge and start the process of moving into the United States. And the goal for the U.S. government was to simply process them, not to prevent them from coming. Totally improvised situation. No system, no nothing. Now the next morning, so this was about, we stayed out there till maybe 1 a.m. The next morning, the lawmakers went to the Donna Center. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe what they told me about it right after we hear just a word from the Bradley Foundation. This has been a year of crises. Actually, it's year two of crises. The Bradley Foundation has a speaker series called We the People that offers insights and ideas on the current challenges we face. Those insights and ideas come from the remarkable organizations that the Bradley Foundation supports. We want you to visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty. Tell you how to spell that in just a second. Visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty to watch our most recent video, which addresses the battle over election reform. Now, the featured guests are J. Christian Adams, who's president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation, former Justice Department official, knows a lot about elections, and also Rick Eisenberg, who is president of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They will discuss the implications of H.R. 1, which is that massive Democratic bill that would remake elections all across the country. They also discuss the influence of outside money on the administration of elections, plus their latest work to safeguard elections. So, go to bradleyfdn.org/liberty. That's Bradley with an L-E-Y at the end, fdn.org/liberty to watch this new video. New episodes will debut weekly, so come back often and subscribe to the Bradley YouTube channel to be notified whenever a new one is posted. Okay, I told you that the next morning the lawmakers were going to the Donna facility, and you've probably heard of that. This is this place where the United States government has just stuffed, overcrowded, thousands of migrants and migrant families into a holding area. Now, I had been invited to cover this. Representative Steve Scalise, the House Republican whip, had invited me to cover the visit, but the Border Patrol would not let me, a member of the press, go to the Donna facility. So I didn't go there, didn't see it with my own eyes. But the House members did. And when they came out, they were more disturbed than they had been the night before. And Devin Nunes just mentioned him. It's far worse than I thought it would be, and I thought it would be pretty bad, said Devin Nunes. Just the sheer volume of people that are in that facility is astounding. Nunes was looking, actually. He was looking to see if he could see the people that he had spoken to the night before under the bridge, assuming that they had probably, by that time, been taken to the Donna facility. He did not see them, but he was looking and assumed that somewhere in that crowd, they were there. Now, Representative French Hill of Arkansas was also there. Quote, "You're in a pod of children that is supposed to hold 60, that has 350 in it, head to toe in space blankets. It was sad and tragic to see that many children jammed together in holding pens." These space blankets are these aluminum foil blankets that are handed out to help help the migrants stay warm. They give a weird look to the whole situation where you have these people who've been just stuck together very, very close to each other. By the way, there is a pandemic going on, and they were all being put in very, very close proximity. Nobody in Washington, D.C. would ever accept being crowded in with that many people that close in this pandemic. They'd go nuts. But that's what the U.S. government is doing with these migrants. Steve Scalise said, one of the first people we encountered was a young girl, maybe no more than 10 years old, who was crying. We asked her, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "Because I don't want to be here." Well, who would? Obviously, she had a reason to cry. Okay. Now, the Republicans, in addition to just seeing this personal cost, of what's going on. They pointed to several things that Joe Biden, the president, has done to create this current crisis. Now, first of all, and maybe the biggest one, was he did away with President Trump's remain in Mexico policy, and that required asylum seekers to stay in Mexico, not in the United States, while their asylum claims were adjudicated. So coming into the United States and claiming asylum was not a ticket to stay in the United States. As a matter of fact, it meant that you had to return to the country you just left, Mexico, to await the adjudication of your asylum claim, which we know can take a very, very long time. We're talking about years. Okay, the second thing Biden did was he ended President Trump's asylum agreements with the Northern Triangle countries. That's El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, that steered would-be asylum seekers from those countries into other safe countries other than the United States. And Biden just blows those up. He puts Vice President Harris in charge of negotiations of some sort with the Northern Triangle countries. But he blows up those agreements, just throws them out. And then the last thing is Title 42, which is a product of the coronavirus pandemic. And basically, it gives the government authority to expel most migrants for the purpose of recently arrived migrants, for the purpose of controlling the spread of COVID. Now, Biden did not actually throw away or repeal Title 42 altogether, but he is now letting most would-be migrants stay rather than be turned away because of the pandemic. Now, Scalise said the surge was created when President Biden got rid of things like the Remain in Mexico policy. He could put that back in place tomorrow and stop this surge of illegals coming over. Indeed, that's probably true. A couple of other things that Biden did. He came into office promising to end all deportations for the first 100 days of his presidency. Now, go back to the campaign. That's what he said. Every single one. No more deportations for 100 days. Nothing. Now, when he announced that he would stop deportations, he gave himself a little wiggle room, left in a little loophole to deport terrorists. But basically, he stopped deportations for his first 100 days. We'll see if they restart, by the way. We're getting close to the end of the 100 days. But he's basically stopped deportations. And the last thing he did that the Republicans cited was he immediately stopped construction of the Trump border wall. Now, all of these moves were substantive moves, but they were also symbolic moves. They opened the door to would-be illegal crossers and sent the message to thousands of people in the Northern Triangle and elsewhere, and the message was, come now, and you can stay. I mean, that was the message. So, now, after they visit the Donna facility, the Republicans head over to a boat ramp on the Rio Grande, and they want to check out the river patrols, which are run by the Texas State Department of Public Safety, the state troopers. Now, what's interesting is the state of Texas played a role in this whole visit, even though the members of the House were looking at what the Border Patrol and other federal agencies were doing. And basically, the state of Texas runs something called Operation Lone Star, which was created by Greg Abbott, the Republican governor of Texas. Now, the idea was to have state law enforcement fill in the gaps created by the Biden administration's policy of attracting all of these migrants who need care. The idea was Border Patrol, a large part of the Border Patrol workforce has been diverted from patrolling the border to simply taking care of migrants. They would call it babysitting. So nobody's doing their Border Patrol work while they're taking care of migrants. And the idea of Greg Abbott was to have state forces, state agents, state troopers, fill in those gaps. On April 1st, Abbott announced that state agents in Operation Lone Star had made nearly 600 criminal arrests, had referred over 16,000 illegal border crossers to federal officials, and had seized 14 pounds of cocaine and arrested 9 gang members. So, they go out on a river tour. And one of the parts of Operation Lone Star is touring the river in armed boats. So the group went out in four boats. They were really fast. They were 34-foot yellowfins, and each of them had three 350-horsepower Mercury outboard engines. They really would fly. I mean, they zoomed. Now, the state had mounted 7.62 machine guns on each side. It looked like it was something out of Apocalypse Now. And now, this ride, it was for show. We weren't really going out on a patrol. They wanted to show members of Congress what their capabilities were. But they have gotten a lot of mockery from Democrats and some in the press. So you may remember Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, senators took a similar ride. There were pictures of them. And a lot of Democrats made fun of them. Quote, "You're in a Border Patrol boat armed with machine guns. The only threat you face is unarmed children and families who are seeking asylum, as well as the occasional heckler." That's what Beto O'Rourke, who is the perennial candidate for everything, Democrat, in Texas, tweeted to Ted Cruz. And in fact, actually, Republicans did get some hecklers. We were going along in the boats. And on one side, there was a Mexican park. I mean, it was just a big park, picnic tables, that kind of thing. There was a group of men standing at a picnic table. They're shouting what sounded like insults, couldn't really hear, couldn't understand. A woman with them pulls her shirt off and flashes the lawmaker. Maybe she was trying to make some sort of policy statement, but she was yelling too. So there were hecklers, there's no doubt about that, for the boat ride. But, you know, even though it was for show, the boat ride made a serious point. And this is the point. Somebody needs to protect the border while the Border Patrol is busy taking care of migrant children. I mean, the fact is the Border Patrol has been terribly miscast in the new Biden border operation. And you can tell talking to them, to Border Patrol people. Then in their heart of hearts, what they really want to do is catch bad guys. Same is true for state troopers in Texas. At one briefing, they showed videos of troopers who were in hot pursuit of smugglers. Smugglers are trying to bring drugs and guns into the country. And it's dangerous work. It's terrifying. It's very exciting, but it's terrifying. And it's precisely the opposite of processing exhausted migrants. It's precisely the opposite sort of work of processing migrants who walk up to the facility and ask to stay in the United States. What Operation Lone Star and Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, are trying to do is keep up the traditional work of protecting the border, even if the president of the United States doesn't really want to do it. That's what Operation Lone Star is about, and that's what the boat ride was about, too. So, after the boat ride, so this is a pretty intense trip. All happens in the course of 2 days. After the boat ride, the lawmakers have a news conference. And now, it was interesting, their statements were more political than they had been in the private briefings. They come out and, you know, blame President Biden for this, ask why Vice President Harris hasn't visited. They make it more political, but in the actual briefings behind the scenes, when there was no press except for me, they were actually asking serious policy questions of Border Patrol people, of ICE people, of state officials, and it really was a fact-finding trip. But at the news conference, again, they were criticizing President Biden. They were saying, "Where is Vice President Harris? She was put in charge in some of this, of at least some of this. Where is she?" They were talking about stuff like that. I'm going to quote one of the representatives, Nicole Malliotakis. She's a Republican from New York. "What I saw on this trip was chaos and disorder." That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Continuing to quote, "What the Biden administration does not want you to know is simply that they have handed over the borders of our country to the cartels and the smugglers." That's actually true. One of the things that was interesting is this was a Republican trip, And a lot of Republicans have been going down to the border. There have been a bunch of them. You could almost say the border is kind of crawling with Republican lawmakers. Democrats, not so much. They don't seem to be interested in seeing what's going on the border. Nancy Pelosi, she actually said this. I'm going to quote Nancy Pelosi. She said, "We're on a good path at the border." We are not on a good path at the border. That was just laughable. And only a few Democrats have even publicly seemed disturbed by what's going on. Scalise told me that Henry is getting to a boiling point. By that, he was referring to Henry Cuellar, who is the Texas Democrat, who is, in fact, leading his party in speaking out about Biden's border mess. That was terrible. This is something you can't defend. That's what Scalise said. So they, Democrats, can only hope that everybody just keeps quiet. So after the news conference, the trip is over. The Republicans head toward the airport and the flights back to their district. Now, at the airport, this is the McAllen, Texas airport, there were a bunch of small groups of migrants who were there. They'd made it from the Ansel Lewis Bridge to the Donna facility, and now they'd been given airline tickets by the U.S. government, and they were heading on to their new lives in various countries. Each of them had a manila envelope, and it contained some statements in English, like, "I don't speak English, please help me get on my flight," plus travel information. They would present that to gate agents and then head off to a new life somewhere in the country, having illegally crossed into the country and not been adjudicated. Their asylum claim, if that's indeed what they made, has not been adjudicated. But they're in the United States now. And so the trip was over. The congressional trip was over. Now, the Republican lawmakers know that they have no power to do anything. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Democrats control the House. They're the majority. Tiny majority, but they're the majority. Of course, Republicans cannot by themselves force the Biden administration to do anything. All they can do, and a number of them said this, is, quote, raise awareness of the worsening situation on the border. And that's what they're doing. Now, Democrats will dismiss it all as politics, but the fact is awareness does need to be raised. That's why they went. That's why I'm doing this podcast. That's why I wrote up the story. Awareness needs to be raised. And the more people know, the better. And that's why we told the story. So, thank you very much for joining us for this edition of the Byron York Show. Hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.